Climate Change the Facts. The Hockey Stick, a retrospective by Ross McKittrick. Ross McKittrick is a professor of economics at the University of Guelph, co-author of Taken by Storm, The Troubled Science, Policy, and Politics of Global Warming, and author of Economic Analysis of Environmental Policy. The fact that times in the past experienced a warmer climate than today is highly inconvenient for the proponents of the theory of human-induced global warming. So the finding in 1998 that temperature trends were much higher in the present day than the past by the American climatologist Michael E. Mann was a key part of the political move toward climate change policy. Rather than the climate oscillating between hotter periods, for instance the medieval warm period, and cooler periods, for instance the Little Ice Age between the 14th and 19th centuries, Mann's findings suggested that global warming was out of control. The graph of temperatures in the Northern Hemisphere looked less like a wave and more like a, quote, hockey stick. Mann's redrawn temperature graph was in part based on a study of Siberian tree rings. Ross McKittrick and Steve McIntyre studied the data behind the evidence and the statistical techniques used to interpolate it and found key errors in the statistical technique used to combine Mann et al.'s blended data would almost invariably produce a hockey stick. The controversy led to a U.S. Senate committee setting up an inquiry under Professor Edward Wegman, who essentially reported that Mann's claims that the 1990s were the hottest decade in 1,000 years could not be supported. We asked Ross McKittrick to write this synopsis of the issue. Alan Moran, editor. The best place to start when learning about the hockey stick is Andrew Montford's superb book, The Hockey Stick Illusion. Other essential sources are the original Mann et al. Papers, the McIntyre and McKittrick papers, Steve McIntyre's and my presentation to the National Academy of Sciences panel, McIntyre's Ohio State University presentation, a few survey papers and chapters of mine, and McIntyre's climateaudit.org post over the past decade on proxy quality, the Yamal substitution, the BRIFA truncation, data secrecy, and some other issues. It is sometimes said that we found Michael Mann's algorithm would always produce a hockey stick, even from random numbers. See Figure 2. That is not quite right. We found that the algorithm could do so, given the right kind of random numbers, autocorrelated rather than independent. We also found that it mined for hockey stick shapes and overstated their dominance in the underlying data patterns, and that it understated the uncertainties of the resulting climate reconstruction, or equivalently, exaggerated the significance. A very brief summary of the problems of the hockey stick would go like this. Mann's algorithm, applied to a large proxy data set, extracted the shape associated with one small and controversial subset of the tree rings records, namely the bristlecone pine cores from high and arid mountains in the U.S. Southwest. The trees are extremely long-lived, but grow in highly contorted shapes as bark dies back to a single twisted strip. The scientist who published the data had specifically warned that the ring widths should not be used for temperature reconstruction, and in particular, their 20th century portion is unlike the climatic history of the region and is probably biased by other factors. Mann's method exaggerated the significance of the bristle cones so as to make their chronology out to be the dominant global climactic pattern rather than a minor and likely inaccurate regional one. Mann then understated the uncertainties of the final climate reconstruction, leading to the claim that 1998 was the warmest year of the last millennium, a claim that was not, in reality, supportable in the data. Furthermore, Mann put obstacles in place for subsequent researchers wanting to obtain his data and replicate his methodologies, most of which were only resolved by the interventions of U.S. congressional investigators and the editors of Nature magazine, both of whom demanded full release of his data and methodologies some 6 years after publication of his original Nature paper. Mann had redone his hockey stick graph at some point during its preparation with the dubious bristlecone records excluded and saw that the result lost the hockey stick shape altogether, collapsing into a heap of trendless noise. However, he never pointed this out to readers. He also stated that he had computed test scores called R-squared statistics that he said, or implied, confirmed the statistical significance of his results. Yet, when the R-squared scores were later revealed, they showed no such thing, and by then, he had taken to denying he had even calculated them. Our critique of man's method. There are two key parts to the hockey stick-making machine. The first is the principal components, PC step, and the second is the least squares, LS, fitting step. The PC step takes large numbers of temperature proxies and compiles them into a relatively small number of composite series. The LS step then lines up the final segment of the composites against an upward sloping temperature graph and puts weight on them in proportion to how well they correlate. If there are many composites and only one has a hockey stick shape, the LS step will find it and put most of the weight on it. If none of the composites has a hockey stick shape, then the LS step will come up blank, and the resulting graph will just look like noise. Mann's PC step was programmed incorrectly and created two weird effects in how it handled data. First, if the underlying data set was mostly random noise, but there was one hockey stick-shaped series in the group, the flawed PC step would isolate it out, generate a hockey stick composite, and call it the dominant pattern, even if it was just a minor background fluctuation. Second, if the underlying data consisted of a particular type of randomness called, quote, red noise, basically randomness operating on a slow, cyclical scale, then the PC step would rearrange the red noise into a hockey stick-shaped composite. Either way, the resulting composites would have a hockey stick shape for the LS step to glom onto and produce the famous final result. The use of red noise series is necessary for testing the statistical robustness of the hockey stick method. This is a procedure called Monte Carlo analysis. For one of our 2005 papers, we generated thousands of series of trendless autocorrelated random numbers and ran them through the PS and LS steps. This generated thousands of results, each of which had an index of accuracy called the reduction of error, RE score. Likewise, the actual proxy data had an associated RE score. We set a benchmark based on the idea that if the proxy data was actually informative about the real world, it had to yield a higher RE score than most of the uninformative artificial data. Mann had done the same thing, but had not taken into account the effect of the erroneous PC method. The real proxy data didn't turn out to be more informative than red noise, but he set his benchmark too low, making his proxy results look statistically significant when in reality they weren't. There was a big red flag in his calculations that should have tipped him off. Another model test is called the R-squared score. It has the nice feature that you don't need to do Monte Carlo simulations. It has standard benchmark tables available in any statistics textbook. While Mann reported the favorable R-squared scores for the later portion of his graph, he didn't mention them for the early portion, pre-1750, where they were nearly zero, indicating a lack of statistical significance. Instead, he only reported the RE score, which he thought indicated significance. He showed the reader the RE test that he thought, incorrectly, was favorable. Yet he kept referring to significance tests in the plural in support of his claims. So the reader would naturally assume the unreported R-squared scores looked good too. They didn't. But he failed to report that in the article. And as we later showed, the R-squared and RE scores were actually saying the same thing, namely, that the hockey stick was uninformative as an indicator of past temperatures. Stick handling. In 2005, following an article on the dispute in the Wall Street Journal, Mann had been sent a list of questions by the Energy and Commerce Committee of the U.S. Congress, one of which was whether he had computed the R-squared score. His answer was, "My colleagues and I did not rely on this statistic in our assessments of, quote, skill, i.e., the reliability of a statistical model based on the ability of a statistical model to match data not used in constructing the model. Because in our view, and in the view of other reputable scientists in the field, it is not an adequate measure of, quote, skill. The statistic used by Mann et al. 1998, the reduction of error, or RE statistic, is generally favored by scientists in the field. The answer is classic misdirection. He was not asked, did you rely on the R-squared score when assessing your results? There was no need to ask that. If he had relied on it, he would never have claimed his results were significant. He only claimed significance by ignoring it. The question specifically was whether he computed R-squared. Tellingly, in his reply, he changed the subject. But it hardly matters. Either he did not compute it, in which case he was lying in the paper by saying he had, or he did, in which case his failure to disclose it was misleading to his readers. When we and Mann appeared before the National Academy of Sciences NAS panel in 2006, we presented this issue in detail. We showed the panel that the supplementary information to the Mann et al. 1998 paper did not report the verification R-squared scores, and we urged them to ask Mann whether he had computed them. John Christie of the University of Alabama, Huntsville, put the question to him. To our astonishment, Mann point-blank denied having done so, claiming it would be, quote, silly and incorrect reasoning. Mann then launched an extraordinary tirade against R-squared, a well-understood statistic which is found in every statistics textbook and is the workhorse of model testing. After the NAS panel hearings, we wrote a letter to the chair, Gerald North, expressing our frustration that they allowed Mann to get away with this, but we were not successful in getting them to follow up on the matter. The National Academy of Sciences report. More evidence that the Mann procedure exaggerated the statistical significance of his results came in the NAS panel report itself. While they lost the plot on the R-squared issue, they did at least look at the overall question of how to assess a statistical climate reconstruction. They came up with the most elliptical way possible to say that the Mann hockey stick was unreliable. Here's what they said. Reconstructions that have poor validation statistics, i.e. low CE, will have correspondingly wide uncertainty bounds, and so can be seen to be unreliable in an objective way. Moreover, a CE statistic close to zero or negative suggests that the reconstruction is no better than the mean, and so its skill for time averages shorter than the validation period will be low. Some recent results reported in Table 1S of Wall and Amon indicate that their reconstruction, which used the same procedure and full set of proxies used by Mann et al., gives CE values ranging from 0.103 to 0.215, depending on how far back in time the reconstruction is carried. Sir Humphrey Appleby could not have phrased it better. Unpeeling the obfuscations, here is what they said. Reconstructions can be assessed using a variety of tests, including RE, R-squared, and the coefficient of efficiency, CE, scores. If the CE score is near zero or negative, your model is junk. Wall and Amon include a table in which they use Mann's data and code and compute the test scores that he didn't report. And the CE scores ranged from near zero to negative, which tells us that Mann's results were junk. Another exercise in obfuscation concerned the reliance on bristlecones. The NAS report said the following. Such trees, bristlecones, are sensitive to higher atmospheric CO2 concentrations, possibly because of greater water use efficiency or different carbon partitioning among tree parts. While strip bark samples should be avoided for temperature reconstructions, attention should also be paid to the confounding effects of anthropogenic nitrogen deposition. For periods prior to the 16th century, the Mann reconstruction that uses this particular principal component analysis technique is strongly dependent on data from the Great Basin region in the western United States. Such issues of robustness need to be taken into account in estimates of statistical uncertainties. Stripping away the bark, here is what this means. Bristlecone records are sensitive to a variety of environmental conditions other than temperature and should be avoided for climate reconstructions. Mann's results strongly depend on the bristlecone records, and his results are therefore not robust, an important point over and above the lack of statistical significance. The NAS report also made a few other points, buried in elliptical prose or scattered around the report where the press would be sure of never finding them, not that they looked. Putting them together, they upheld all the claims in our submission. McIntyre and McKittrick demonstrated that under some conditions, the leading principal component can exhibit a spurious trend-like appearance, which could then lead to a spurious trend in the proxy-based reconstruction. As part of their statistical methods, Mann et al. Used a type of principal component analysis that tends to bias the shape of the reconstructions. The report even included its own graphical replication of the artificial hockey stick effect from feeding red noise into Mann's algorithm and noted that the usual RE significance benchmark is, quote, not appropriate, and that uncertainties of the published reconstructions have been underestimated. The Censored Folder. Mann also published an online review article in 2000 that assured readers in categorical terms that their results were robust to non-climatic bias in tree ring data, and even to the complete removal of tree rings from their data set, though they illustrated that point only for the post-1760 interval. In the course of our analysis, McIntyre found some directories at Mann's FTP site, the censored directories, which through detective work were found to contain assessments of the impact from dropping the bristlecones from the underlying data. In light of the claim in Mann et al., this should not have made any difference, but it did. In our NAS presentation, we showed graphs of the data in Mann's censored results, in which the hockey stick shape completely disappears. That is, even applying Mann's biased methods, after dropping the few bristlecone pine series, there is no remaining hockey stick shape. The claim in Mann et al. About robustness to the exclusion of the tree ring data was obviously misleading. In the letter from the Congressional Oversight Committee to Mann, he was asked, did you run calculations without the bristlecone pine series referenced in the article? And, if so, what was the result? Mann's answer was lengthy, but included the following. For a complete scientific response, you should consult the article my co-authors and I published back in 1999, addressing precisely these issues. As my co-authors and I explained, given the proxy data available at that time, certain key ring data were essential. If the reconstructed temperature record during early centuries were to have any climatological, quote, skill, that is, any validity or meaningfulness, these conclusions were of course reached through analysis in which these key data sets were excluded and the results tested for statistical validity. Our conclusions have been confirmed by Wall and Amon. Translation, yes. When we removed them, the graph collapsed, and the statistical scores went to zero. Oh dear, didn't we mention that? Anyway, to avoid the problem, we kept them in. Mann's claim that the 1999 paper addressed, quote, precisely these issues was misleading. In that paper, they did mention that their top-weighted PC was, quote, essential, but they didn't report the results of excluding the bristlecones. Instead, they applied a, quote, correction that they claimed, without proof, fixed the contamination pattern in the bristlecones, even though it only applied to the 19th century portion. And their 2000 paper claimed robustness both to contamination of bristlecones and removal of tree ring data. Wall and Amon later offered the argument that since the hockey stick fails all statistical tests without the bristlecones, they ought to be retained. The logic really was that bad. In our letter to North, we pointed out that we agreed with Wall and Amon and Mann that the reconstruction without the bristlecones is no good. But we added, our contention is that the reconstruction with bristlecones is also no good, as evidenced by the failure of verification R-squared and CE statistics. Conclusion. The story continued on from there, and much more could be said. The intensity with which so many people have followed the story, and its continuing relevance via the ongoing Mann versus Stein lawsuit, as well as others, indicate to me that it is more than just an academic spat about proxy quality and R-squared scores. I suspect that the whole episode has wider social significance as an indicator of a rather defective aspect of early 21st century scientific culture. Climate Change: The Facts is published by Stockade Books. All rights reserved.